Good morning, everyone. We'd like to welcome you here. If it's your first Sunday, we are so glad that you are joining us. If you're part of the Woodwork, we're also so thankful to see you too today. We have quite a few announcements, so I'll move through that. And first is Encounter Jesus. It's a healing ministry that's taking place out at Rounds Ranch. If you have any further questions, it's June 16th and 17th, sorry. You can see Bruce and Donna Clark for more information. The poster is hanging at the back as well. VBS is going to be from August 8th to the 11th this year. We are partnering with Journey Church in Collingwood, so they will be sending some of their volunteers. But if any of you would like to join, there is still a need. From the end of May, I'll be passing around a clipboard, and you can just put your name there. We also will need some families to help with snacks, so you can also be praying over the summer if that's a way that you would like to serve. We have a yard sale that is happening. Ladies Visionary is coordinating it along with Vivian, who is now taking in charge of all events for the church. So if you have further questions, you can see Vivian as far as that goes, and that's on July 1st. And we really hope to have the whole church partnering in this, so we'll get you more details soon. The community meal, as you know, started off as more of a cold weather outreach, but we've just had so many amazing moments for discipleship, and it's just been a wonderful time. So we've, as a core team, have decided to carry it out throughout the summer and see how it goes through the summer months as a trial and see if we still get the same crowds and the same kind of connection that we've had over the cold months. So not tomorrow, but the next Monday, we will be transitioning into a barbecue outside. Kind of being visible in our community, you are welcome to join. If you would like to give financially towards the burgers, you can do that through Phil. Just state that that's what that's for. But if you want to come and bring a side, think barbecue sides. A bag of chips or a bag of buns or a salad goes a long way, and we're just going to have a wonderful time of loving our community outside. If you would like to stand with me as we prepare our hearts for worship, and I'd just like to commit this time to the Lord. God, I just thank you for today, for this beautiful sunny day, Lord God. Thank you for the people that are here, Lord God. I pray you would calm our hearts of any distractions that we walked in with. Lord God, we just lay them down at your feet. God, prepare our minds as we just come before your throne, Lord, to worship you, to honor you, to hear your message today, God. May we leave better than how we've entered. May we love one another better, and may we love our community better. So, Jesus, I just lift this whole service, each and every detail, into your mighty hands, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Are the God who cares so much for us. Father, move amongst us right now, touching hearts that need help. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us today. And Father, right now I pray for the offering. Father, we're giving back to you a portion of that which you have given to us. And so, Father, we give with cheerful hearts. We thank you for that now in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. And we'll ask the children to go to Junior's Church this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning again from somebody else up here. I'm not nearly as prepared as Pastor John is for this. I don't have notes in front of me, so I'm just going to pray through these slides. And there are a fair number of them. So, Lord, we want to bring Henry to your glorious attention. We want to thank you for what you've done for him. And thank you for what you're going to do for him, Lord. We ask that you heal him, repair him, and love him. Father, the update on Henry is that since the update, Henry has had a surgery. He went well. They put in 5 plates in it for it to knit his ribs back together with wire. He's going to have a fun time trying to get in an airplane. What have you got under your coat, sir? Just my ribs. Yeah. So right now, he is in a medically induced coma so that his body can heal. So if you happen to think of this man, Henry, through the week, that is one of the nicest updates we could have. From Doreen, she went for a chest x-ray yesterday, and we're just going to pray that all they're going to see is a great big hole, nothing in there, no dark spots, nothing, just her live, healthy lungs. And we want to continue to pray for Monday evenings. Christina was talking about how we're going to change the format slightly and move outdoors with the good weather coming. If you haven't been out to a Monday night, talk to somebody who has. And just let them share their heart with you about what they've seen happen there. The most poignant thing that happened one Monday night was we had a young lady arrive and she was somewhat distraught, and she knew of a man who was living in the bush close to here. And he'd had an unfortunate mishap. It was one of those days when it was like minus 20 and he was very cold. He was in his sleeping bag and he couldn't see the need to have his food outside, so he brought his little propane stove in and it caught on fire. He didn't seek help. People who were here knew about his plight. And the following day, 3 men went out. They found him. They got him into hospital. Unfortunately, he's passed away now. But it's those sorts of things that are happening on Monday nights. It's not just feed people. It's not just come and have a good time. It's showing these folks that we truly love them, because we do. I mean, that's what we're the church that's known for, right? We're the loving church. We're the soft-hearted, soft-headed group of people who will try and help anyone. What a great way to be. So pray for Robert this week. He's going through his last round of chemo, and he's had a kind of rough time of it. So he's got one more round to go. Let's just pray him through that and get him back healthy. From Elaine, thank you for all the praying with me. I am blessed to have found such a caring group of brothers and sisters in faith. What a wonderful thing for somebody to say about a church. What better could somebody say than their hearts are with mine? And then from Doreen, she's got some good news too. Praise that Shane's dental surgery yesterday, which I believe was Tuesday? One of those days last week. It went really well anyhow. He's not in any pain. Everything's going well. Back to work. So again, Doreen wants us to praise the fact that she's going for a chest x-ray. And please clear the lungs, no dark spots. And she won't get the results for another week or so, right? Yeah. Well, we were playing that the results are just a blank sheet of paper. All right. So let me just pray for the service and for all of those who entrusted their prayers to us. Father, we thank you for being here this morning. We thank you for being here every morning. And Lord, for those of us in this small family who have needs of you. Lord, listen. Hear us. Hear our prayers. Hear our praises. Father, and when great things happen, you get the glory. You're the one who's in charge. You're the one that's made it happen. So, Father, be with each and every one of us here today. And Carl, come on back up. Let's hear some more music.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to read the scripture, Tonga, before I pray for you. Okay, brother? Comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. How many know that? And I know what it is to have plenty. A couple of us know that. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things. I can do all of this through him who gives me the strength. I can't do one of these things without his strength in me. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Shall we pray? Father God, quiet in each of our hearts. We believe this prayer that we've just read from your word. And Father, now my brother, Pastor Tonga, is coming with a word that you have given him and prepared in his heart. Now, Father, open his mouth. May our ears of our hearts be open that we might receive and respond to you in the way that you would have us to respond. For this, Father, I ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people did say, amen. Amen.
Well, Carl, happy birthday again. And can we give them a round of applause, the worship team? They did such a good job. That was amazing. Was that because it was your birthday? Must have been. No, you did good. That was really good. Well, this morning, I'm going to start us off with a new sermon series, and it's entitled Taste Them Again for the First Time. Okay, so this was the slogan that was used for the Kellogg's Corn Flakes ads. That was in the 1990s, by the way. Okay, so they said, taste them again for the first time. So it is a call to go back to relive the taste and how good the product was, you know, because sometimes you forget about the taste and all of that. So keeping that in mind, with our new sermon series, we'll be revisiting, right, relive and taste them again for the first time of all those famous scripture that we quoted all the time and all of that, and we're going to revisit all of them, and furthermore, we will also look more in depth of what are those, what's the meaning behind that scripture, what is the true meaning of that scripture that we see in the Bible. Okay, and we're going to go through that week to week for about a few months, I believe, until maybe end of summer. And so we're going to have a lot of verses that you know of, okay? And then we're going to revisit those. And the goal is that once we know the meaning and the heart behind, that we'll be able to apply it into our life appropriately. Amen? So for this Sunday, I picked a verse that you all know by heart, okay? Philippians 4:13. Can we all say it together? I can do who gives me strength. Amen. So, well, first of all, I don't know about how your week went. Perhaps you all had a great week, right? Winning every battles and winning every sports team. Well, I'm so sorry for the Leaf fans. Well, for me, my last week didn't turn out exactly as I thought it would. And in other words, it didn't seem like I was living up to the text, okay? Well, can you help me complete this sentence with your own words, okay? Last week, everything ended up Wonderful. What else? Chaotic? Upbeat?
Surprising.
Hardworking. Okay. Can I get one more? Last week ended up, what's that?
Thankful to the Lord.
Wow, a lot of spiritual people here. Great. Well, that's good. My week wasn't that wonderful, okay? But I'm really encouraged by your week. That is great. You know what? Nobody likes to lose, and my family knows me very well that I am very, when it comes to games, I need to win all the time. I don't like to lose, okay? But except for one area. You know, I have learned in 14 years that I'm not going to win an argument against my wife. So I didn't even bother to win that part anymore. But I like to win, okay? It's a good feeling to win, right? We all like to win, don't we, right? We all like to win. Well, in the midst of those challenging times that we all face, what I face, what you might be facing through, where we'll always feel defeated sometimes or even depleted, and we might wonder sometimes if it's appropriate to actually claim this verse, okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're going to look more into that. And it was also said that after John 3:16, Philippians 4:13 is one of the most searched verse in the Bible. Have you ever heard of that? John 3:16 is top for sure, right? That's everyone knows that. But Philippians 4:13 is the second one. And it's always, however, though, it's linked with athletes seeking to inspire victory and strength. Okay? So I don't know if the context is really meant for that. Okay? And as some of you may remember many years ago, you guys know this guy named Tim Tebow? Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, he has his this Bible verse, Philippians 4:13, on his eye black while quarterbacking for the Florida, I believe, the Gators. Yeah, and because it was on his face, the Bible reference was actually on his face. So because of that, he was up on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in somewhere in the early 90s, I believe. And I saw this posted on, because I was following at a passing church in Atlanta, Georgia. I saw him once on my Instagram page. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I haven't really thought through about it. But I later realized that a lot of people quoted this verse when they want to win the battle, when they want to win the sports game, or when they want to do something that they always wanted to do, or perhaps fly, right? And they will quote the scriptures, okay? I believe that Tim Tebow, I know he's a great speaker. Even to today, he traveled with some of the musicians, worship leaders, and he will speak and at camps and, you know, and conferences and all of that. I believe he knew what it meant with Philippians 4:13. However, this has also been, as we said, it's a common application, unfortunately misses its real meaning of that text. Okay, so this verse actually talks about a different sort of victory. And this victory is often experienced through hardships. For instance, a person may give up all his worldly riches for Christ and maybe perhaps suffer as a result. Perhaps some of you may face a position and conflicts because you have chosen to do the right thing. Or you're going through a tough time right now, something you never thought would ever happen to you. Okay? Although you know God is in control over your lives, you're wondering, why would God allow such things to happen in my life? It's almost like, God, this is not fair. Like, you know my situations, and why would you allow this to happen in my life? Of all the time that I could go through, but why now? And some of you might probably be actually mad at God, or perhaps offended. Or maybe you're mad at people who are associated with that. In other words, you are finding it hard to find contentment amid your circumstances. And if you're that person, you're not alone. We're all there, and, you know, at different times, or perhaps we will be if you're not there. And this morning you're thinking, how will I respond to these challenges and hardships? How will I win such circumstances? Can I really win through these sufferings and hardship that I'm going through? God, can you really come through this? I know you've done it in the past, but I don't think you could do it this time because this is worse. Like, God, I don't know if you could help me. God, when I was single, you can provide my needs. But right now, I'm married and have four kids, and I'm living in Wasaga Beach. I don't think you can provide my needs. Lord, I know you have healed me in the past, but I'm older in age now, and I'm really sick, and the doctors have given up. I don't know if you can come through this time. Well, the answer is, guys, despite our hardships, Christ will bring us victories. We will win this battle. We will win this battle because it has already been won at the cross for us. Amen? It has already been won. But the victory that we think of, the victory that we want, are not the same as what we think victory is, because we are looking at the worldly winning. Okay, that's what we're going to unpack this morning. Our theme for this sermon is, no matter what circumstances, no matter what situations come my way, I can find contentment through the strength and power Christ gave me. Before we go further, let me give you a brief background to this context. So when we look at this verse in its context, however, we see all things in a very different light. Okay, and I think that the verse becomes even more powerful as we study, as I study through, and I'm like really blown away. In fact, to be very frank with you, to be clear, for the longest time, I always quote the scripture for a wrong reason, for a wrong purpose too. Okay? When I want to win, when I trust God for, you know, to provide my need, or to because I was writing my exam, or I was waiting for my visa to come through, and all of that. But it's more for that worldly pleasure or things that I need, human wants. Okay, so I couldn't see beyond that. So the Apostle Paul wrote these words while he was in the prison. Okay? Reflecting on how he had learned to be content in all circumstances. And he says in verse 12, whether in plenty or in want. One commentator states that Paul was under house arrest, probably in Rome, during the reign of Nero, awaiting trial before the Roman emperor. As he writes his text, he recognizes that death may be the end point of his imprisonment because everybody knows Emperor Nero was known to be hostile to Christians. By the way, he basically burned them alive. They were used for the street lights. Did you know that? I studied this and I was shocked. Every night in the evening, they will bring all the Christians, they tie them on the street posts, and they burn them for the street lights. Nero was known for that. Imagine, this is where this text comes out. Can you be content when you know that you might be the next guy who's going to be burned the next day in Wasaga Beach street lights? We wouldn't laugh. It is precisely in this context that Paul writes that he learned the secret of being content. He realized that contentment is not directly related to one's environment or our situations. And folks, our circumstances are constantly changing. But God never changes, amen? Paul was at peace with his circumstances because he didn't rest upon them, but only on who? God. Now that we understand this promise from this passage, I want us to revisit and taste them again for the first time, okay, this particular verse. But in order to do that, we're going to pull 2 points out of this from the verse. And the first is being content in all circumstances. Being content in all circumstances. And the second that we will be looking later is, I can do all things through Christ. First, being content in all circumstances. And second, I can do all things through Christ. The first, being content in all circumstances. As I've said earlier, Philippians 4:13 is not primarily about the great accomplishment that we attempt, such as winning sports and all of that. But those perspectives will only then apply to only few circumstances, not all circumstances. Are you following me? And some of us may already face difficulties, faith testing, and overwhelming challenges. For others, sooner or later, we will have probably have health issues, problems at work, and some perhaps you already have that, family, relationship problems, or it could be even financial, or among many others. And it's in those situations that this verse speaks to us. Philippians 4:12 writes, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Growing up, I came across many people, including some of my own family and my relatives, who went as far as taking this interpretation as learning to be content with just having a little. Okay? To them, since maybe they weren't able to have much, maybe they just stick with what they have and they don't want to have more, and they said, no, just have a little and learn to be content. Although this might not be wrong necessarily, per se, but this was not what the verse meant. Are you following me? That's what the verse meant. And I really like, one of my favorite commentators is Craig Keener. In his commentary, he also tells that the Greek philosophers might probably have the same idea as those learning just to be content with just little. Okay? In a fancy word, it's called Stoicism. That's the Greek philosophers, the moralistic idea. And so in that Stoic thought, they would say that the wise man, listen to this, the wise man needed no one but himself and was completely independent. Let me read it again. The wise man needed no one but himself and was completely independent. Okay, so although Paul uses the language of contentment in all circumstances, being able to do all things, and that is also common among those Stoic philosophers that we just talked about. And but Paul, in this context, when he wrote that, he also keep in mind of all those Bible heroes, people who have gone through persecutions, people who have been martyred, and people who have been persecuted for the sake of Christ. Okay, so it's never, this being content with little was never about just being content with the little thing you have and focus on yourself. It's not about self-discipline. It's not about all of those mind control and just learning to be happy with just you have. No, it's way more than, it's beyond that, okay? And unlike such philosophers who depended only on themselves, Paul is sufficient only by the virtue of Christ. Only by the virtue of Christ. In other words, a true contentment that we're talking in this text went beyond a me self focus. And I'm going to unpack that. A me self focus. And also, it focuses on serving others. It's not only about me and myself and what I want. Okay, that joy, contentment, and strength to serve others when we have little or much comes through knowing Christ. So, as we can see, it is very interesting to note, to kind of compare together the Greek philosophers who are self-reliant, self-dependent on themselves. And if you look around, even in today Christians, we tend to focus a lot on self. about me focus, what I want, what music I want, you know, what kind of church I want. And God, you have no idea what I want. This is what I want. God, give me, or else I will stop going to church. Right? It's a me focus. And this is exactly what Paul is going against it here. I find this very interesting from Quora.com that I found, and Heather Wild stated a very interesting read. She said, in the 50s and 60s, which almost everybody in this room can relate to, there were three major television channels, newspaper and the radio. Okay, where people would get the information about the world, and they pay attention to that. However, in this new generation, they have about a 24-hour news stream pulling them in a million directions, and there is nothing for them to focus on. If you ask someone, did they hear the news or see a TV show or read a particular article, they would say, about 99% would say, no, they don't. However, though, this is really great. There is one thing that everyone has in common. One thing that everyone can focus on, both alone and together. Guess what? That's the front-facing camera. See, I'm going to say that the only story that people care to read consistently, okay, they don't want to read about the news. They don't want to read about what's happening in the world. But the only thing that people in today's time want to read and spend their time, or people care to read consistently, is the one that they themselves create. Isn't that funny? That only proves that we humans are selfish and self-centered by nature, unfortunately. Okay? Whereas Paul, although he went through ups and downs, good times and bad times, despite all these circumstances, he had learned to be content by focusing on a greater purpose. Focus on Christ and the ministry that God has called him to, which was empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Christ. Okay, so remember that a me focus and an all sinful nature without knowing who you're in Christ, your purpose and his plan for you will not lead to contentment. As long as we, as Christians, are always focusing on ourselves, how I feel, how dare they speak to me that way, and all of that, if you're always lost and, you know, struggle in that area, it's going to be a long way for you to come to that state of contentment that Paul is speaking to us. Friends, just being a Sunday Christian will not produce contentment neither. Amen. Amen? Amen? We have to move beyond that. You can only have that by having relationship with Christ. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by having relationship with Christ? I really like what John Piper has to say about this. I believe he said it the best. And this is how he put it. Listen to this carefully, guys. How do we have relationship with Christ? Remember, Sunday Christian is not enough. And as your upcoming lead pastor, that's not going to help me with my job or with my ministry. We have to move beyond that. Because I want us, as a church, to grow together in the knowledge of how much God loves us, who we are, our identity in Christ, and the responsibility, the calling, the purpose that we have as a church. We got to move beyond just being a Sunday Christians. And we got to have a relationship with Christ from Monday to Saturday, and on Sunday, together as a community, we come together, we worship the Lord together, we hear, study the Word together, and we grow together so that we can move beyond a me focus, a self focus, and then we can serve others. Amen? Amen? By the way, let me be very clear. I don't plan to say this, but kind of have to now. When you come to church on Sunday, do you know that you are not serving the church? You are serving yourself in the Lord. If you really want to serve the church, it has to be from Monday to Saturday.
Amen?
Amen? And if you want a relationship with Jesus, like I said, you got to build up. You got to give every effort to study God's word, to spend time in his word, to love people and serve the body of Christ, even beyond our church, so that you may have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Let's get back to what John Piper has to say. And this is what he said. Listen to me carefully here. A relationship with God happens most fundamentally by the Spirit through the Word. By the Spirit through the Word. So let the Bible be the place where God meets you and speaks to you. And let the Bible be the place where you speak back to Him. The relationship is in this communion. This, I love this. This is what he said. Him to us and us to him. Amen? And he went on to say that, and it happens all throughout the day. We remind ourselves when we get discouraged. And the Bible says, do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Fear not, I will be with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10. There you go. And you remember those words. This is what it says. You remember those words and you call them to mind. Because they are from a promise in the Bible for you. Then you say, thank you, Lord. I will take this next step of obedience. And at that moment, a relationship has been enjoyed. See that? At that very moment, a relationship between you and God has been enjoyed and commitment has been experienced. And that's how you walk moment by moment with God through this life. Amen? Isn't that so amazing? And that is what I want us to see. I want to see as a church, as a body of Christ, at such a time as this, in this day and age especially, we need Christians to step up. We need Christians to be living like a son and daughters of the living God. We have responsibility to do. We have work to do. And no matter what circumstances you are facing, we can be content. No matter what circumstances comes our way. Because through Christ, he can give us strength and his power to overcome all of that. Therefore, friends, despite any challenges you're going through or you'll be going through, maintain your relationship with Christ and others. In verse 11 and 12 of Philippians 4, Paul writes, I have learned the secret of being content. Paul's learning was not instantaneous. Okay, guys, again, we're going to be bombarded. We're going to come through a lot of fake people in this day and age. Who want things constantly changed, just like that, instantaneous, okay? We're also living in a culture, everything fast food and all of that. But that's not how it works. You know what? God can do it. God can change you. But that's not how it works. No, that's not how it works. It did not happen overnight for Paul to learn about this truth that we're talking about. It did not happen overnight or at his conversion. The book of Acts reveals his learning through trials after trials. Contentment that we're talking about this morning and the joy that comes with it is not something that you are born with. Okay, listen to this carefully. This is not something that you are born with, or it doesn't come just like that. It's something that must be learned. Most often, sorry guys, through difficulties, trials. Your trials are not wasted. Your trials are not wasted. God God has a purpose in all the trials you're going through. Remember last 2 Sundays ago, I was preaching from Jeremiah 29. God knows everything that you're going through. Through trials, He's preparing us for something greater. And it's something that we must be learned most often, again, through difficulties. The contentment that will allow us to praise God amid the pain, confusion, and humiliations is something we can learn here from Paul's stories. So friends, no matter what situations may come your way, you can find commitment, you can find contentment through Christ's strength and His power. That brings us to our next and final thought for today. The second point is, I can do all things through Christ. So what does Philippians 4:13 really mean? Well, this verse really is the answer to the question Paul asked in the previous verse. Okay, that would be 4:12. Paul writes, I know what is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So you might be asking, so what's the secret? The secret here is, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That is the secret right there. Paul's contentment did not come through just, as I say, self-care or power of positive thinking, or it could be that notions of Greek moralist ideas of stoicism, okay? No, that's not how it came. It was Jesus Christ who gave him strength. And this is what Paul knew. And what he knew was, all he needed was Jesus. Jesus is enough. So when you go through hard times, yes, you might have a lot of things that not like uncertain with your medical report, or not knowing what's going to happen in few years down the line. And there's so many things that you cannot have answers for a long time. But even in those times, we need to learn as Paul, because as he was writing from the prison, he was waiting basically a time to die through that, because he knew that that's kind of his end. And for some people, we might be in the same place right now. But as Paul has encouraged us, we should also learn to realize that at this very hour, at this very point, okay, maybe all the hopes that we had vanishes, and we got nothing left. But as Paul says, all we need is Jesus, and Jesus is enough. And is Jesus enough for you? Amen. That's something that we can be asking today. In my last two messages, I reminded us that we will face challenges. Some of you are probably experiencing these challenges at this very time. And the Bible, again, you know, again and again, the Bible is stated that we are going to go through storms of our own lives, and we will face trials, and we're going to go through difficulties even more so in the future. Jesus said that we would face the storms of life in Matthew 7:25. And these storms are many and varied. They're going to come in different ways. In other words, life is not always going to go how you want. You already know that. It's not going to go how you want. It's not going to go how you please. It's not going to go as how you plan. It's going to go as how God wants. And many times we would not understand His thought, because the Lord says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And that's where the promise of Philippians 4:13 becomes very, very crucial for us today. As we revisit this text, I want us to taste this text in a different manner today. Regardless of all the hardships that we are facing today, We can do all things through Christ because He's the one who is going to give us strength to go through that. He's the one who's going to take us out of that. He's the one who's going to redeem us out of that. He's the one who's going to pull us out of that in His own time, in His own way. Some, maybe not in this earth, but eternally, we are going to be with Jesus in heaven. Amen? And that is the hope and glory and future that we as believers have. Paul is living proof of this. 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 26 states, he was beaten, whipped, shipwrecked, and jailed. And you know that Paul was eventually killed. He was killed for his belief in Jesus. He never had an easy life. Paul never had an easy life. He was, however, through all of those circumstances, he constantly writes and reminds us all the time that he is full of joy, at peace, and content. Imagine. That was because he has who? God. He has Jesus. Our Daily Bread in June 30th, 2021 published a story about Johnny Erickson. She returned home after suffering a swimming accident that left her four limbs paralyzed. Now, doorways were too narrow for her wheelchair and sinks were too high. Someone had to feed her until she decided to relearn how to feed herself, lifting the special spoon to her mouth from her arm splint the first time. And she was humiliated as she smeared applesauce on her clothes. You know what? But she pressed on. As he says, my secret was learning to lean on Jesus and say, oh God, help me with this. Today, she manages a spoon very, very well. Johnny went on to say that her confinement made her look at another captive, surprise, the Apostle Paul, who was imprisoned in a Roman jail, and his letter to the Philippians. Johnny strives for what Paul achieved. See that? Paul achieved, and Johnny strives. Note that Paul had to learn also to be at peace at his situations that he went through. And he was not naturally peaceful. How did he find a contentment? We know. Through trusting in Christ. Through Christ. Friends, we all face different challenges throughout our days. And we can look to Jesus moment by moment for help, strength, and peace. He will help you, friends. He's going to help you. He's going to help us not to sin in our anger. He's going to help us not to sin in our anger. He will help you not to give into temptations. We're living in a tough time, tough days. You look at your surrounding, from cities, government, politics, church, whatever, you're frustrated. You look at the news, you don't want to even flip the channels. You've had enough. And many things you think and go talk, whatever, experience, they make you upset. They make you frustrated. They make you angry. And there's so many temptation that comes along with it. But pray to God. And He is able. He can help you not giving into those temptations that we are facing. And He will give you the courage to do the next hard thing. Friends, folks, look to Jesus and find contentment. Amen? In closing, today we look at contentment and the joy that comes with it. And let me repeat this again. It's not something that this contentment and joy is not something that we are born with, nor does it come natural to us. It is something that we must learn. We must learn through the help of the Holy Spirit in Christ. We are reminded that our trials are not wasted. So when you are going through trials and tribulations and hardships and sufferings, do not command them to go away right now in the name of Jesus. You could do that. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? But we don't tell what God to do. We ask the Lord if it is will that he will remove it. You see that? I'm not against commanding things, but God did allow our trials and struggles in our life. We can ask God to remove, but it's your trials are not wasted. There's a reason why you're going through that. And the answer is not for God to take the trials away. Listen to me carefully. The answer is not for God to take the trials away. The answer is through the trials, God is going to teach you. He's going to teach you his character and his love for you. And through that trials, you're going to learn how to depend on Christ. And through that trials, you will be able to go through that through the help of Christ. Amen? That's, praise God, Bob. Friends, as we just tasted this passage again for the first time, we see clearly that we cannot use this verse to give ourselves positive thoughts so that we can accomplish what we want. Nope, we cannot do that. These words are referring to the ability to endure the trials and hardships when we keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? And this is a powerful passage that we should allow to encourage us when life gets us down. Because God is with you, and you're going to win this. Victory is yours already. But in his own time, in his own way, we learn today that you can find satisfaction in Christ no matter what circumstances you are in. The question is, church, folks, will you let Christ be all you need? Let me say that again. Will you let Christ be all you need? And if you are the person today who are going through hard times, maybe perhaps you're going through different temptations and different all the wrong thoughts in your head, I want to encourage you to reach out to Jesus. Amen? Reach out to him. Call him. Pray. Pray to him. Cry out to him. He is ready to help you. Jesus is ready to help you. He's ready to give you strength in those weaknesses. And he promised to give you peace in those trials, joy and comfort in those trials, in those questions that you are still struggling. And he can give you peace and comfort that the world cannot give. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray. Jesus, you are more than enough for us. We are thankful to have God, Holy Spirit, living in us, who is for us and has already rung the bell for us. God, this morning, no matter what we are facing right now as a church, as an individual, Lord, would you please remind us each day that through your Holy Spirit that despite all the struggles that we go through and challenges and different circumstances, Lord, we speak this verse. We can do all things through Christ. And yes, Lord, we know, Lord, that you will bring us through these hardships. We thank you, Jesus, for your promise. The promise to be with us, to give us peace and joy and comfort despite amid the hard times that we are or will be going through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worship team.
As we begin to leave this place, I want, Father, for you to go in front of us and to be with us and to be behind us and to surround us as a hen covers her chicks, that, Father, we might begin to live the life Monday to Saturday and then come here on Sunday just exuding all those things that you have done in our lives. Father, for we have learned to be content in little or in much. But Father, have your way in us now. Dismiss us, Father, with great strength in Jesus. And that, Father, as we now share in a small token of coffee and tea, that you would help us to share those things around that. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you all.